But let me ask that we one more time go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, help us to worship you this day in all that we do, recognizing that the only reason we celebrate today is not mere thankfulness, it's not just a time to be with family, but we celebrate because God became a man. The unthinkable happened. Eternity invaded time. This is an amazing thing we celebrate today. And while you have not commanded it in your word, we do so because we love Jesus. So we pray that you would help us to see him today as we look at this text, and that you would be glorified, Jesus would be honored, and you would put in our hearts the remembrance of what we're even doing today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, a little over a month ago, the movie Justice League opened in the cinemas. And uniting together to fight evil and rescue humanity were some of the greatest superheroes of all time from the DC Comics. Batman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, The Flash, Cyborg, all coming together. And while this particular movie didn't earn as much as the producers were hoping, superhero movies just in general are some of the highest grossing films. Just this year alone, 4 of the top 10 grossing films were superhero comic movies. So I started thinking, why do we as a society and a people like these types of movies? Why do we spend so much money to go and watch Batman? I mean, I like Batman. Why do we do it? What is it about them that draws us to them? Well, Ben Affleck, who plays Batman in the recent movies, summarizes the answer to this that I think most people probably feel, and I think he summarizes it quite nicely. So speaking to USA Today last month, Affleck said this: part of the appeal of this genre is wish fulfillment. Wouldn't it be nice, he said, if there was somebody who can save us from all this? Save us from ourselves. Save us from the consequences of our actions, and save us from people who are evil. That is great insight. If only there was someone. These movies draw on our natural instinct that something is wrong in the world. Right? There's something wrong. We look around and we see evil, we see corrupt politicians, we see violence, we see hate, and in the quiet moments, when we look in our own hearts, we see all that within ourselves. And we look around and we say, how can this be fixed? Look at what's going on out there. Who can save us from all this? Who can rescue the world? Where's Batman? Now, if we think about it, these questions are very similar to the questions the Jews were asking of themselves while they were in exile. When will all this be fixed? When will Yahweh act to save us from all this? When will all wrongs be made right? And to those questions, the prophet Isaiah comes and gives hope. So turn to Isaiah chapter 52, if you will, with me, and let's look at what Isaiah has to say in response to this. Isaiah 52, beginning in verse 7. Here's what he says. Isaiah 52, beginning in verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy. For eye to eye they see the return of Yahweh to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem, for Yahweh has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Yahweh has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. So there's the hope that he gives Israel. Now you can imagine that as the Jewish people heard that, they might be thinking, that's awesome, Lord. That's awesome. How are you going to do it? How are you going to bring it all about? How are you going to rescue us? Are you going to send fire down from heaven and just destroy the Babylonians? Are you going to send a military leader who's going to line up a bunch of tanks and just wipe them out? They probably weren't thinking about tanks, but... No, that's not how he's going to do it. The pronouncement of Yahweh in Isaiah 52, 7-10 will be put into effect in and through the suffering servant of Isaiah 53 in the very next chapter. So, what does all of this have to do with Christmas? The Christmas event, the birth of Jesus, is the beginning of the fulfillment of this passage. We don't just celebrate today a birthday. We celebrate that God is faithful to his promises. That God makes right all wrongs. That he has not abandoned his creation. And we celebrate the fact that our God reigns. That is what Christmas is about. Our God reigns. So very briefly, let me show you three ways in which this text in Isaiah 52 connects us to the Christmas story. First, the proclamation of Christmas. The proclamation of Christmas. Look at Isaiah 52, verse 7. Look at that text again. He says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. In the Greek translation of Isaiah, the word used for good news is the word we get gospel from, to proclaim the gospel. And gospel means good news. So Isaiah is saying, who brings the gospel of happiness, the gospel of peace. And so when Jesus or Paul are speaking about the gospel, Isaiah 52 stands behind that. That is the background of the gospel. And what is the good news? It is a declaration of peace, of happiness, of joy. It is a declaration that God is king. And only if he is king can there be peace and happiness. Now look with me to Luke 2. In Luke 2, as Pastor Stephen just read, an angel appears to some shepherds. Right, this angel appears to shepherds, and what does he say? Does he say, hey, shepherds, I've got good news. Jesus is born. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that. Because what would the shepherd's response have been? He probably would have looked at him, said, okay, so what? I know five Jesuses who live in Jerusalem. That wasn't the gospel. That wasn't the Christmas proclamation. That wasn't the declaration. Listen to Luke 2, verses 10 to 14, and hear how the angel's announcement is bathed in the proclamation of Yahweh from Isaiah 52. All right, so this is Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news, the gospel, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Did you hear it? The Christmas proclamation is about a gospel, good news, that brings great joy, great happiness. And how it will be a gospel of great joy? Because the child born is not just another child named Jesus. That's why the angels didn't go out and say, "Hey, Jesus is finally here." It's not just another child named Jesus. He is the one who will bring salvation for his people. He is the anointed one. That's what Christ means, anointed one. That wasn't his surname. All right? That's what it means. He is the anointed one, and he is Lord, Kurios. That's the word used to translate Yahweh in the Old Testament. And whether or not the shepherds got it all, what did the declaration of the angel mean? It meant that God, in the person of Jesus, was returning to Zion. He had come to rescue his people, to inaugurate his kingdom, and to declare to the Caesars of this world, "Yahweh reigns, not them." And this is good news of great joy. Well, second, so that's the proclamation of Christmas. Second, the result of Christmas. Look back to Isaiah 52:10. There Isaiah writes, "Yahweh has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." And so when Yahweh returns to Zion, all the nations of the earth shall behold God's salvation. This won't be just a local, provincial redemption over which God reigns. No, this is global. This is global. Salvation will come to all the people of the earth, and they will rejoice in him. This is why the psalmist can say in Psalm 117, "Praise the Lord, all the nations. Extol him, all peoples." And we saw this theme picked up in the proclamation of the angel to the shepherds when he says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news," the gospel, "of great joy that will be for all the people." In Luke 2, the very next chapter, as Simeon beheld the baby Jesus, what were his words? What were his words? "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And then in Matthew's account, we read of Jesus' saving purpose at his birth in Matthew 1:20-23. We read, "An angel of the Lord appeared to him," that's Joseph, "in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,'" which means God with us. So here the child who shall be called God with us is named Jesus, whose name means Yahweh is salvation. Yahweh saves. So just as when Simeon, looking upon the baby Jesus, said, "My eyes have seen your salvation," so when the world looks upon Jesus, they behold God's salvation. In the person of Jesus, all the promises of Yahweh are coming together. Salvation, redemption, restoration are coming in and through the person of Jesus for all humanity. And that includes you and me, everybody in this town, in this country, in this whole world. You see, the result of Christmas is the fulfillment of what Isaiah said there in Isaiah 52, that when Yahweh comes to Zion, all the nations will be coming to him. They will see his salvation. It all focuses and comes together in the person of Jesus. Well, third, what is the response to Christmas? Listen to Isaiah 52:8-9. "The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. together they sing for joy. For eye to eye they see the return of Yahweh to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For Yahweh has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. So what is the response? The response to Christmas is worship. The response is praise. There are many days throughout the year that should give us reason to be particularly focused on the worship of our God. But this day in particular is one where our heart should be so overflowing with gratitude and thankfulness, not because of any present we might receive from a loved one, but because today we celebrate the faithfulness of our God, who told Abraham millennia ago, "In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So the response of Christmas is praise. Even the other angels, they watched that one angel announce to the shepherd what was going on. They couldn't hold back. We read in Luke 1:13 and 14, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts," doing what? Sitting there quietly watching. No. There's a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." The announcement of Christmas resulted in the declaration of praise by a multitude of angels. Where is your heart right now? Is it thinking, "Man, I can't wait to get home to open some presents. I can't wait to eat that food. I can't wait for this. I can't wait for that." Now, in and of themselves, those things aren't bad. But if you stopped to glorify God from your heart for what he's done and what we remember today, Paul writes to the Ephesians and to us in chapter 2 the following. And listen to this as if he was writing this to you. "Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and he preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." Remember, he says, remember that. Without hope, without God. That was you. That was me. And he says, remember. But now, because of Christ, you have been brought near. Well, let me conclude with two exhortations here. First, Christians, there is much cause for rejoicing this day. Yes, we remember particularly the birth of Jesus today. But in that manger, we behold God's salvation. We behold our hope. We behold God's faithfulness. Let's not think of today merely as a birthday party. Second, to those of you who are here who don't yet trust in Jesus, you have no doubt looked at this world and seen the turmoil and chaos, and you've seen the corruption and violence, and you've probably thought the same thing that Ben Affleck said. Wouldn't it be nice if there was somebody who could save us from all this? Save us from ourselves, save us from the consequences of our actions, and save us from people who are evil. Where is it that we can turn? We may live in Gotham City, but we don't need a superhero. We need a savior. A savior who can once and for all defeat the true villains of this world, Satan, sin, and death. And this is exactly what Jesus has done, not by having cool gadgets and beating up bad guys, but by becoming a curse and being crucified on a cross. And then being raised from the dead 3 days later. The kingdom of God has begun with the resurrection of Jesus. And while there are battles and skirmishes of evil still going on, their defeat is certain. And one day Jesus will return and take his total and complete dominion over a new earth where there will be no more sin and no more evil. You see, Batman needs a savior. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this day for your faithfulness. We want to thank you that when you look on this world and see the evil, you see the corruption, you see that even in this room, every heart has sin, black sin at the core of their heart, you don't say enough and walk away. But that you told Abraham millennia ago that in him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And you have been faithful. You have worked it out in your own time. But you have been faithful. We thank you, Jesus, that you willingly came. That God himself entered into creation. Help us to remember that when we look at Jesus in the manger, that we see the remarkable, the unimaginable, that eternity invades time. Why? That God might show himself faithful to his people, to bring salvation to all the nations, to right all wrongs, to set up his kingdom forever that will rule over a new earth. How we long for that day. And as we look back and think about that day that Jesus was born, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to even look ahead with anticipation and hope for the day when he will return. And what a day that will be. Help us to go throughout this day, Lord, not having a heart full of selfish desire for wanting things, but Lord, may we have a heart like the psalmist who says, whom do I have in heaven but you? And on earth, there is nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but you are the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Be our portion this day, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.